N4ZLK, W4DJW.
N4ZLK.
So my angle that I had you at when I tuned the peak of your signal coming to me was 154 degrees, and I just now drew it on Google Earth. I drew a line from Caesar's Head Repeater down past 25 and 123, and it cuts right through the center of that intersection.
Not on, then, it looks like.
It was exact. That's shocking. Yours was the first one I checked. And it was exact. That doesn't give me distance, but when I draw a line to that intersection, that distance is 21.29 miles and exactly 154 degrees. So anyway, I thought you'd be interested. That worked out pretty good.
No, sorry. Pulling out in the intersection here. I like things like that. Directions and bearing finders and things like that.
Me too, because it's somewhat subjective, because it's me twisting a Yagi and hearing a woo, woo. And there's no crisp woo at the top of that noise. There's no crisp. I mean, I like to look at it through a magnifying glass to get it exactly. And I just have to, you know, go back and forth a couple of times while you're counting down to 15 and center it. And then when you stop, I stop. And then I pick my phone up and I measure what angle is that at. And I just write down that angle. So anyway, yours was the first one and it came out perfect. So I think I might stop right there.
A couple more times, right?
Yeah, we'll go up there and do it again. I'm going to go to the repeater site next time. I didn't have a key to get inside. I'm getting my own key. So I'll be able to get inside the gated community and inside the fence where the repeater is and all that stuff. And I'll do it again from over there. But I couldn't be happier. So I appreciate you picking that intersection and let me know that's where it was. But that just turned out perfect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I happened to notice it while I was counting. I'm like, I'm going under the bridge. I hope I don't lose the signal. But I was thinking maybe I thought you said you were going to stop checking, like, you were going to check into the other bearings to make sure they were right. I was just wondering if, I didn't know you meant going back up to the repeater site and doing it again.
Yeah, I'll probably do it more than once because I'll be up there for other things as well. And, you know, it never hurts to hone those skills.
And that too. I've actually been mulling over my brain about maybe building a very small portable Yagi just to hook to the handheld just for fun, because I enjoy making things and then having them work. Sometimes I don't even use them. I just, the idea of just making it and having it work.
Steve has that set up, and time before last when we were looking for more, he did pretty good with that. And his was made out of material that you use to make tape measure material. Gary had one of those too. Worked pretty good.
On a video, it was pretty cool. I haven't looked up how to make them, but I have heard of them. But anyway, I was base with or partial wood inserts, maybe as an insulator. I don't know if that would work or not for the driven element.
Well, I don't know where they got their instructions, if it was off YouTube or what, but I know there's probably YouTube videos out there. I mean, box hunting is a pretty big deal in some areas. It's a really big deal. It used to be for the Greer Club, so you probably find instructions on YouTube or even just a webpage on it, a blog where somebody makes them. I've come across them by accident several times, so there's plenty of data out there.
Conversation with Steve, but there's just one more thing I want to do, and for some reason I can't get the YL to think that these kind of things are important enough to not do other things with her.
Like the honey-do list.
You know, and then of course grandbabies came along. Now I have two little ones, a 15-month-old and a 6-month-old, and now I want to spend time with them, but I don't want to spend all my waking time with them. I did that job.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing about grandkids. You can give them back, right?
Have them all day and all night and be perfectly happy.
They do have that mesmerizing effect. Anyway, the good news is there's other grandparents that want them too, so so they have to make their rounds.
Fortunately, one of them, there's Texas and Germany, and then the other one, they like the idea of telling everybody they have grandkids, but they never seem to have the time, so my wife is happy with filling that void.
Well, there you go. Well, and there you go. While she's got the grandkids, you can be over there carving out a Yagi antenna and some coax to bridge the between the Yagi and the handheld.
Yeah, sure. I'll see how that works. Anyway, I'm about to my next place. I got to drop this trailer and grab an empty bag at the building. So glad I can help. Enjoyed it today. N4ZLK.
All right, talk to you later. Be careful. The N4ZLK, W4DJW, clear.
W4DJW,
N4ZHY. Hey, Keith.
I'm going to let you know that's two devices you turned me on to, and I looked them up, and neither one of them is like the VK Sniffer is a pretty neat device, and I think Mandel or either Mike in that GSX might have showed me one of those, and it was pretty clever little device. And then the other one is the one you was telling me that Chad got, the WX3-in-1. They're out of stock also.
It seems like there's a lot of them that are out of stock. Who was that that Mike, N9STS and N9, no, what's Mike's call sign?
GSX, Golf Sierra X-Ray.
That's it. And Jama, him and Jama. And he's the one that told me about those. And I got this one like 3 years ago. It's been sitting in a box with no battery in it so that it wouldn't corrode. So I got it out a few weeks ago and mounted it on my handheld Yagi, one of those Aero five-element, two-meter handheld Yagi. Mounted it on there, and boy, it works good. It works really good.
Put down, it wasn't Mandel. It was definitely Mike who told me about it then. They were right after I got my ticket. I was over at the Anderson Hamfest. They did a little box hunt for the kids out there. And he was showing me one. Really cool stuff.
Yeah, he told me about it, too. He told me about it about 5 or 6 years ago, and I finally went around and got one before they sold out. I got probably one of the last batches, and then Johnny came back later and tried to get one, and they were all sold out.
Looked up the website earlier when you were talking about it. I guess they're still selling them, but he mentioned due to parts shortages and stuff, like a lot of things, they're not available at the moment.
Well, I was telling Steve about it earlier today. He's heard about it before, and he's contacted him and told him that he wanted to get one. I think if he gets enough people telling him they want one, he'll probably spec an alternate part or find an alternate way to get the parts. But he might not be doing it because he's just not hearing that there's a huge demand for them.
Sure, and there was a list of a link on the site to a fellow that said that if you were interested in acquiring one in the U.S., contact this fellow, and he has stock in the U.S. Of course, with any of these pages, you don't know when they were updated last, so it may be old info.
I remember them talking about doing that, so I would contact the guy in the U.S. because you can get it quicker. That was the whole deal there. I guess he probably sent a dozen or more to that guy, and then the people in the U.S., they can get them without having to wait for weeks on end. Because I had to wait. Mine, I forgot I ordered it, and it showed up one day, and I said, oh, yeah, I ordered that about 3 months ago.
It's a cool little device, and that APRS device, too, is pretty sweet. I've seen a couple of reports on this radio that's coming from those things.
The one that Chad got? Yeah, I've been tempted to get one of those, too. All of my stuff's really old. It's like 15-year-old APRS equipment, because I got into APRS right when I got into ham radio, which is going on 20 years now. Next year, it'll be 20 years. So my stuff's old. So I thought that's why I told him he asked me, what does he need to get? And I told him, you don't need to get what I got. You need to research it and get some of the newer stuff. And that's exactly what he did. And that is nice.
Tina HRO has the WX 3-in-1 Mini. I believe they're in stock. But I was wanting to get the big one, and I had a bad experience with HRO in Atlanta, so I tend to spend my money elsewhere if I can.
Well, I hate that. I've generally had good luck with HRO, but I don't buy that much from them either. I've used Gigaparts too. But when I did go to HRO, when I did buy stuff from HRO, I used to drive down to Atlanta and just browse because I wanted to put my hands on it, but not so much anymore. Anyway, I'm going to go back to doing some calculating on these vectors and see how far off I was. The first one with Shane was right on the money. I may wish I stopped there, but anyway, I'm going to go ahead and check the rest of them and see what happens, see how it goes.
Yeah, I went down to HRO to buy my 7300, and I had purchased a cable like a month before, and it was an end cable, and the guy, you know, basically told me, no, there's not much we can do about it now. I was like, all right, well, that's not the reason I'm here. And the other guy that wasn't even involved in the conversations at the other end of the counter and come down and look at the cable, looks like somebody screwed this into a UHF connector. And it's like, seriously, dude? So, yeah, ordered 7300 for Gigaparts. And I was going to also let you know that if you need a more exact location, feel free to text me. Or if you look up my address, the road I live on is my driveway. So you see that on Google Earth and you know it over time.
Okay, yeah, I don't think I have any problem. I've got your APRS beacon, so yours is going to be one of the most accurate that I have, because I'll just, hopefully the vector will come out going right through your APRS beacon.
The reason I was saying more accurate is because I do have a two-digit ambiguity on it, so, like I said, but if you get that close, you can see the road that I live on, which, again, is my driveway, so you can figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah, I doubt it's going to be that accurate because it's 20 miles away. Well, Shane's was 21 miles away. Yours is going to be further away than his was. So anyway, I'm tickled to death with it myself. Anyway, appreciate it, and good luck with the hunting for that part. It's a lot of fun, but it's going to be hard to find, I think. Unless he gets enough people telling him I want one too.
Well, I'll let you go. Yeah. Pretty neat experiment listening to it. Maybe it'll get some results too. So, W4DJW, K4CHY, be clear.
W4DJW, clear.
Dave, just a comment, this is Andrew OTR. My longitude and latitude's right down to like a tenth of a degree on QRZ. I didn't know if you were using Longilat or not.
Well, I know exactly where you are, Tom. There's no ambiguity there whatsoever.
Well, I didn't know if you was doing that from Caesar's Head or your house. I know you know where I live.
No, I was on Caesar's Head, and I was tuning in where you are, your house, from 20 miles away. And now I'm seeing how accurate I was. And with Shane, he was the very first one. I just had to call him because it just went. I had him at 154 degrees, and it went 154 degrees, put it right through the intersection he was driving under, right when he was doing his 15-second countdown. And that was the first one with that. I've read up on how you use that tool, but that's the first time I've ever used it like that, gone off to a place where there was no RF all around me. Like in my house, there's RF all over the place, so it's not very accurate. It's the first time I went off to a place where I can get line of sight to everybody and make it go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until I just zoom right in on it and then stop and then measure my angle. That is a lot of fun, and especially when it comes out and your data is correct.
Now, I think I counted up instead of down, but I had just walked into the basement from out at the chicken's night, I had turned the radio on before I went outside, and I heard you. I think I counted up instead of down, but lo, you got 15 seconds there, and I was watching my watch. I figured it didn't matter.
It didn't. I just needed time to, you know, all that 15 seconds was for, I could hit it within the first couple of seconds. But that's 15 seconds is, let me tune off of you, and let me tune back on you, and let me turn off of you in the other direction, let me tune back on you. And that way, if there's a reflection, and I am centered on the reflection, if I turn off of you and it goes down and then it comes up a whole lot higher than it did, then I know, though, that wasn't him, that's bouncing off of something. So I hunt for the highest one, because any reflection is going to be a lower level than your actual signal. And that's what the 15 seconds was for. I can get it in about 2 seconds, but I get reassurance if I take a whole 15 seconds and take my time.
Well, you can zoom in on a mobile, say, for example, Bill had his mic stick one day in 4IQ, and I stopped and called him on the phone, and you could zoom in on that real easy.
Yeah, that's one of the things that makes this thing so good. It's got multiple modes, and like, for example, when you're doing Doppler direction finding, you're 100% reliant on noise. A carrier doesn't do anything for Doppler. Doppler means you need a variation in noise. You know, it goes up, like the train's coming past you. It's going up while it's coming at you, and then it goes back down. Well, for this, it's got a mode for that that'll do it that way. It's also got a mode that'll do it with a constant carrier. So you got to get it in the right mode for what's happening. The constant carrier makes it super simple, right? But without the constant carrier, like your countdown is kind of sort of similar to constant carrier, but it's not as good as a constant carrier would be. That's what they do in fox hunts, is they put a constant carrier out there with a tone on it, and that makes it super simple. But so you got to be flexible enough to hit it just a carrier plus audio, or a carrier and a tone. And it's flexible enough to get any of the three.
Roger. Well, ironically, Dave, back in 1967, I was running a piece of gear called an ALD-2 Bravo, and it just was about a 3-inch circular screen, like a radar screen, up in the left-hand front of me in that carrier plane, and I would get a complete line of about 1.5 inches, and it'd point towards the source of the radar or RF emission. And then the type of radar was from our memory, and it was classified secret, but we had to memorize all the different types of radars orally, if you will, and it'd point right at it, and you can actually, if you did things right, you could fly in under that radar. I don't remember how now, but the one on the P3, it was a lot more sophisticated as far as us knowing what was coming at us there. And they had XK and S-band, I think it was, crystals out on the tips of the wings so they'd be away from the noise to pick it up. So we're getting close to picking up the grandkids here, and I know you want to go, Dave. I just was curious. 73. And thanks, Dave. This is Central Chief.
All right, Tom. Yeah, that's a very similar principle to what I was doing. I was just sweeping back and forth, whereas you were going round and round. So very, very similar principle. same deal. Anyway, take care. Enjoy the grandkids. Catch you later. N0TR W4DJ W Clear.